one of you ever seen someone in a place doing something that they were not, and they were not fully dressed? I observe a lot of things, and I don't say things, but my wife and I, on last week, we were coming from the Mount Zion Church, and we were going down Bolton Avenue, and we saw a young lady, and I don't know what her mental state was, and she was at a place and appeared to be trying to do something, but I must admit she was not fully dressed. She was not fully dressed. But as believers and as the elect of God, we must ensure that we are dressed, fully dressed to do God's work. And if we're not fully dressed, our witness may cause someone not to put their trust in the God that we are supposed to represent. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae is just that. It's a letter. And I say that because history tells us that the Apostle Paul never visited the Colossian church. There were some believers who heard Paul preach and teach in Ephesus, and they took what they heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they went to some other places. They went to Colossae, they went to Laodicea, they went to Hesperia, and praise God, and they shared with those believers there, with those people there, and they started those churches in those areas. I believe if you were to go back to history, history will tell us that Epaphras and Philemon were two of those people that helped start those various churches. So Paul writes this letter to encourage the Colossian church and to correct some false doctrine that was beginning to raise its ugly head. Praise God. I'm talking about that doctrine of Gnosticism. And this letter is a letter to tell the Colossian believers that as believers, as the elect of God, that they must be fully dressed. Praise God. You see, Paul lets them know, as well as he is letting us know today, that now that they have put on Christ, praise God, that they should now put on the garments of Christ if they are going to do God's work. Yeah. So as we look at our text, Paul lets us know what clothes to put on. Since we have taken off those old clothes, amen, we have gotten naked by taking off those old clothes, Paul is now telling us there are some garments, there are some clothes that we should put on. Praise God. I'm talking about clothes that we should put on that will not hinder our work for God. You see, once a person has accepted Christ, he has a new life. Oh, you have to go to a very marquee scripture that everybody ought to know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, in fact, a new creation, a creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, some things most things. It says that all things, praise God, are to become new. So the believer is to strip off, praise God, the clothing of his / her old life. I'm talking about for the God.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina, Alexandria.
Awesome until redeeming.
God with the CA. You are tuned into the spiritual warfare broadcast. Where we will take you in an in-depth
look. But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you. Jesus, Jesus.
Let's tune in as evangelist Ronald Bell takes you further.
You were born
into the word
in a manger.
Verse 54 says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days." This is our promise, and this is what he will do. Verse 55, "For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." See, and he's talking about eating the Word. The Word is God. You remember I told you it was the living Word? Jesus was the living bread that came down from heaven. So don't forget, don't start tripping and thinking we're talking about real flesh and blood. We're talking about supernatural flesh and blood. We're talking about the Word of God. Make it simple. We're talking about the Word of God. We have to eat the Word of God. And it's so many parables in there where he say how you have to eat the Word. And he's not talking about putting it to your mouth with a spoon. No, he's talking about getting it into your heart and let it come out of your mouth and out of your belly. Out of your belly is going to come rivers of living water. And that living water also represents the Word of God. Verse 57, "This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." We're still talking about holy bread. You know, what we must know and remember, saints of God, as we develop our lives in the Spirit, is that earthly things are of the earth. Things of heaven are spiritual in nature, and you need to study this too. We need to study the difference between the two. This is how we get confused, and this is how we stay ignorant. And we don't want to be ignorant concerning the things of God. Because as spiritual minded, is if we're becoming spiritual minded, it is a continual way or action of life. In the book of Romans, Paul tells us we have to crucify the old man daily and be transformed by the renewing of our minds daily. Once you become aware of the difference between the mind of the flesh, the carnality of the flesh, and the spirit mind, it'll be easy for you to turn from carnality or worldly views and the ways of the world to the Word of God and to the ways of God. Amen. It will cause us to have a different understanding, and we'll be able to turn. This is another way that we discern good and evil. We can discern that we can come out of carnality and the worldly views and the way the world do things, and we can turn into the things, be transformed into the ways of the Word of God and the things of God. Saints of God, this is a wonderful lesson. You need to pay close attention, and you need to begin to get the scriptures in your heart and in your mind. Jot down some things that you hear that you know that you need to do, and then begin to practice them. How we see God and the things of God will make all the difference in how we serve Him. This is where we must get to, and as a church, this is where we have to get to. We must learn who God is, who Jesus is, through a continual study of the Word of God daily. We should be working tirelessly and feverishly to know all that we can about Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. This is what we are called to do, and then we can do the works that He has called us to do through Jesus Christ. We cannot do the works that God has called us to do. These are powerful works through the Spirit that we have to do. These are powerful weapons that we have to use through the Word of God. And we won't be able to successfully use them unless we know our Father, unless we know Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the things that we're required to do as the children of God, as the church of God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to know Him. We can do all the works that Jesus did, and we can do greater works. As it is now, we seem to be a powerless church because we haven't a proper education of our Lord and Master and our soon coming King Jesus Christ. If you're studying to become a doctor or a lawyer, you can't skip the classes and go straight to operating on people or go straight to defending people in a court of law. If you're a lawyer, you just can't go in and pick up a law book and go straight to, practicing law for clients. You can't do that. You should know how to properly defend them in a court of law. You should know properly by teaching, by work, by exercise, by exercising what you know, by practicing what you know. If you're going to be a doctor, you have to do all of that before you can skillfully work on a human being, because death and life is in your hands when you're holding that scalpel. You know, we want to do the things that God has told us to do, and we want to do the works that God has called us to do, then we're going to have to do it according to His will. If we're going to save souls and bring them into the kingdom and save them for all eternity, then we're going to have to deal with the dilemma of what we're doing now. You know, if we're going to heal and deliver and set people free, cast out demons and devils, you know, if we're going to multiply the earth, replenish the earth, if we're going to be fruitful in the earth, subdue the earth, then we're going to have to do it according to the Word of God. We're going to have to do some deep studying, and we're going to have to make sure that we do everything that God has called us to do. Saints of God, we're going to get a pass. We cannot get a pass. We're going to have to do the things that God has called us to do. And when we do the things that God has called us to do, then God is going to do what He said He would do. You know, and we just, if we look back according to the Word of God, the church have to learn. We're going to have to learn. I keep coming back to that. We're going to have to learn who Jesus is. We're going to have to learn who God is. In order to do what we're called to do, we must know the one who called us. You know, He's our author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God. we're a son